Hello and welcome to the Carolina Snowflakes podcast, where two Southerners come to terms with their liberal snowflake tendencies. We're your hosts. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jason.
So Black Lives Matter.
Yes, they do.
And how do you talk about that in 30 minutes or less?
You don't.
Exactly. So that's why we've decided to make this a series.
Yeah, that's why we're doing this separately. Because right. It's too large of a thing to even begin to put down into one episode.
The topic at hand, to do it justice, requires more attention.
There have been people who have literally dedicated their lives to studying this issue. Mm-hmm. And they're old. Meaning, we can only scratch the surface of learning about it in our lifetimes, let alone re-explaining it to other people.
Right. So what we're doing is releasing this series, mm-hmm. the BLM series, as an accompaniment to our regular program. Mm-hmm. So consider this a bonus. So Black Lives Matter can be a tough subject to talk about when you are painfully white.
Yes, as a white person, it's
as we
tough to talk
both
about.
Are very white.
I assume it's probably also hard to talk about for Black people if they're talking to white people about it.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's my own white privilege.
Yeah.
Where I didn't even think about how how they must deal with talking to ignorant white folks.
I don't even know, but I assume it's pretty rough.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like that's not too big of a leap.
Well, that's good. We can bond maybe over that. We're trying to be mindful and respectful and not do a disservice to this movement because we do fully support it.
Right.
But we also acknowledge that we're white.
Yeah.
And as such, we're limited in our own experiences and what we can't speak for Black people because we haven't lived their lives.
Right. There's a lot about whatever happens in Black people's lives that I don't know about.
Exactly. And we can't know.
Yeah. I would only know if I grew up as a Black person in America at this time. And that didn't happen to me.
Exactly. So we're approaching this with just our own perspectives and mm-hmm. also acknowledging that we're limited in what we know, really.
I feel like the best I can do is try to be anti-racist as much as I can.
For sure.
And acknowledge that I've been racist in my past. I've thought racist things and mm-hmm. all white people do. And
And any white person out there who says that they aren't racist or that they've never been racist,
they're lying.
You're lying.
Yeah.
You're lying.
And the truth of the matter is, acknowledging that is part of the first step, but then the desire to get better.
Yeah.
And I think that's all we can do. I don't want to try to do any more than that.
And you do that by talking about it. You do that by doing this, which is just talking about it.
Right. I don't know if I want to change the world. I'm not a revolutionary or protester of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the best I can do is learn as much as I can and share with as many people as I can. It's other people's life goal and life research to study this phenomenon and explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Racism, that I'm just going to say racism as a whole.
Yeah.
And those people have all the information. Those people are who
they do.
You would listen to if you wanted to hear how it all works.
Right. If you want a more in-depth understanding of how we got to where we are today.
Right.
You need to look into these folks.
Yeah. People who have dedicated their lives to it. But mm-hmm. if you want people's take on it, some white people's take on it, we got you.
Yeah. That's what we're here for. So do you know the origin story of Black Lives Matter and where it started?
I don't know where the phrase was coined at all, no.
It actually began as a hashtag.
So Twitter?
Twitter, maybe Facebook, I don't really know. But yeah, it was a hashtag. Hashtag
okay.
Black Lives Matter.
Social
it's also
media.
Considered to be the hashtag that changed the world. And it started in 2013 when George Zimmerman, do you remember that guy?
Yeah, Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, the guy, he was acquitted for the shooting death of Trayvon Martin.
In Florida.
And some folks started using hashtag Black Lives Matter on social media in protest of the acquittal.
Huh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that it went back to 2013.
Mm-hmm. And so it caught on, and it's been this thing ever since, and it became not only on social media, but people took it to the streets.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the Me Too movement in the way that it's a grassroots
mm-hmm.
movement that started with addressing a problem that people had already known about, but giving it a name.
Right. Black Lives Matter is a social movement. It's considered decentralized. So it's not like there's some big corporation or organization. There's not a door.
It's not a political party.
There's not a storefront that you go to and knock on and be like, excuse me, CEO of Black Lives Matter, I need to talk to you.
Black Lives Matter in here? Does this really matter?
It doesn't work like that. It's all comprised of small groups who independently organize to protest. And they've been doing that since 2013 and then up until now, 2020, with the most recent being the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis.
Right.
And that's when we saw the massive protests, and they're still happening.
All over.
All over, not just in the U.S., but even overseas.
Yeah.
And it's all grassroots organized.
Yeah, via the internet, I assume most of it.
Yeah, they have groups and pages and places online in the social media world where they're organizing.
Yeah, and is it organizing around protesting racism or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's specifically there. They do have a website, and if you go kind of read their mission statement and what the overarching goal is, it's to protest nonviolently racial injustice and police brutality against Black folks.
Okay, well that's pretty awesome. I definitely support that.
Yeah, I do too.
I didn't know where it came from, but I supported it.
Yeah. No, I did. I thought that was interesting too. I wasn't entirely sure. I do remember seeing the hashtag, you know,
I'm not
years
a big
ago.
Social media person.
No,
so
you don't really
by the
log
time
on.
It hit these ears, it was probably old.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like flossing. You know, the floss.
Oh,
I didn't see that.
The dance, not your teeth, the dance.
Yeah, the dance. I didn't see that until like 2 years after it was a thing. And when I asked what it was, everyone was like, okay, boomer.
Yeah, okay, boomer.
Yeah, so I guess it was like that.
Yeah. So not only does Black Lives Matter protest in person, as far as like warm bodies on the street, they actually protest symbolically.
Okay, how do they do that?
Pittsboro, North Carolina.
Okay.
Do you know where that is?
No.
No one does.
Yeah.
Well. Black Lives Matter knows where it is.
Uh-huh.
So it's like south-ish of Chapel Hill. It's like right in the middle of the state, in the middle of nowhere.
Gotcha.
It's right off of Highway 64, which basically runs along the state. It's an alternate route if you were like going from the mountains to Raleigh, for example, and you didn't want to take 40.
Gotcha.
In Pittsboro, North Carolina, BLM, the local BLM in Pittsboro or in that area, organized and put together a GoFundMe to raise enough money to buy advertising space on a billboard off the highway.
Oh.
And the reason that they did this is because right next to this billboard, this very specific billboard that they want to put their message on, is a gigantic Confederate flag.
Yeah, there's a few of those around that I
know. Yeah, you'll see them when you're driving through North and South Carolina. Ugh. This is one of them. You know, one of the massive ones.
Yeah, the huge ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was put up by the property owner who owns where the billboard is.
Okay.
He put that flag up in protest of a Confederate monument that was torn down or taken down in Pittsboro. That was his way of saying, you know, I'll be damned if you're going to ruin my heritage.
Yeah.
You know, I'll show you. So that billboard is also on his property.
Okay.
He has a lease agreement with the
so
advertising.
He can't do anything about it.
Yeah. So he has a lease agreement with the advertising agency.
So
they pay him for the property space. And so BLM raised the funds and went and bought the advertising space to put their billboard up on this man's property.
That's awesome. Like, and that's kind of a troll.
I know. BLM kind of trolls, and it's great.
That is great.
Yeah. So he's furious.
Yeah.
Like, the property owner is so mad. He called the ad agency and basically ripped them apart and told them that they were going to take that message down because he says BLM stands for burn, loot, murder.
Okay, well.
And that he wants no part of that on his property. And of course, the ad agency is like, sir, we have a deal.
Yeah.
You know?
They paid for it.
Yeah. And
it's capitalism.
They even offered him more money. The ad agency did to say, like, let us keep this up. We'll up our lease agreement with you and pay you more. And he was like, absolutely not.
Well. Too bad. So right. Sad.
So the sign's still up. I think that's they awesome. Have until the end of August.
That's awesome.
So that the go message, BLM. The BLM billboard will still be up right next to that gigantic Confederate flag as a big FU.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an excellent troll.
Yeah. And then also I've seen like images on social media of protests that are literally just one person.
Okay.
And they're just standing out there holding a sign in their, you know, wherever little town.
So that it's just on paper somewhere that there was a protest, I guess?
Well, no, it's because they support the movement and mm-hmm. they're doing their part in nonviolent, wow. peaceful protest.
Wow.
And one case in particular is in Bluffton, South Carolina, which I think is near Hilton Head.
Yeah.
Near the coast.
Mm-hmm.
There's this one girl. She's 24 years old named Chelsea Powell. And she has been standing at the same intersection between Bluffton and Hilton Head every day for 11 weeks.
Wow.
Holding her BLM anti-racist sign.
That's awesome. Go
all by herself.
Go her.
Yeah, I thought that was great. That's and in fantastic. Case anyone is judging, she has a job. She does this when she's not working.
Yeah, sure. And there's COVID right now anyway.
Right. So I don't know. I thought that was super interesting.
That's
like,
awesome.
It's
that's
so grassroots. Yes, it's so grassroots that like one person can make a difference. And she talked about how she's had people, you know, stop and give her props and say thank you for you know, speaking up and for doing this. And of mm-hmm. course, she's had the opposite.
Yeah, in South Carolina.
She's had people flip her off and tell her to go to hell and whatever else.
Well, but
that's kind of like a representation of what BLM is.
That's amazing. I mean, it's not a political movement. It's a social movement.
It's a social movement.
Right.
And anyone can be involved. You don't have to be black.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a certain political affiliation or anything. You just have to want to support.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that through a group measure. So that's what we've seen on TV mostly has been like the massive protest.
Right.
But you can have a protest and just be a protest of one.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, with all these peaceful protesters, there are some people that are on the other side.
There indeed are.
Yeah. And they like to use the slogan, all lives matter, which is...
They do.
I think misrepresenting the case because the point that Black Lives Matter, from my understanding, is making is that Black people have been treated as if their lives didn't matter, and mm-hmm. we need to start treating them like they do.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah.
If you, as a white person, use the phrase "all lives matter" and you think that that's good enough, you are wrong.
Yeah, because they have been historically, systematically treated as if their lives don't.
Right.
And
when you support Black Lives Matter, you are not saying that other lives don't matter.
Right.
You're saying that Black people in particular need attention.
Yeah.
Their situation is one that matters.
Yeah.
And we need to give it the respect and the attention and the ideally fixing
best, you know, we can.
That it deserves.
Right.
Addressing that it deserves.
Exactly. And so All Lives Matter is kind of a cop-out of that.
It's a cop-out. It's an easy way to dismiss racism.
It is.
It's an easy way to be like, I'm not part of the problem, mm-hmm. when in fact you really are.
And I think that's built on a misunderstanding of what Black Lives Matter means.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are several things that people misunderstand about the concept of racism in America. And one of those things, another one of those things is the difference between systematic racism and racism.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know you went to school for sociology, so you probably learned a bit about those differences.
I did, yeah.
So how would you explain the difference between...
Well, when people say racism,
mm-hmm.
most people's mind goes immediately to what you and I would consider overt racism.
Yes.
The things that you can see happening that are wrong.
Correct.
So things like burning a cross in a Black person's yard.
Yeah, or calling someone the N-word.
Those are clearly racist actions. But they're overt
mm-hmm.
racism.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not the same thing as systematic.
Systematic racism, which might be, for example, I don't know if people realize that the GI Bill, when it was originally brought into the United States, wasn't available for Black people. And there were plenty of Black people who got out and the law guaranteed them a GI Bill housing, but no bank would give them loans because they were black.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did their military service and did not receive the GI Bill. Now, the GI Bill is something that we love and has been widely praised in America, but it was originally another way to keep black people out of white houses.
Subversively.
Right. It was a part of the system.
Mm-hmm.
No one was saying this particular black person can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference in my head between overt and systematic racism.
Right. Another example would be in the world of HR, when you're looking at a stack of 100 resumes and looking at names.
Mm-hmm.
And automatically dismissing the more ethnic or black sounding names without even looking at their qualifications.
Right.
That happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a part of systemic racism.
Yeah, you're like a cog in the wheel of it at that point. And what's interesting to me about that too is it might be subconscious on your part when you're participating in it.
A lot of it is. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is subconscious. And that's where people, white people, tend to get the most offended when you call them out on their racism.
Yeah.
Because they don't think they are.
Right.
Because they're not burning crosses and using the N-word.
Right.
I'm not racist.
Yeah.
But yeah, you are. You crossed the street.
Right.
To avoid that black person walking towards you.
And every time you do that, you're not only doing a disservice to yourself, but you're doing a disservice to that person and to the rest of society. Because if you're subconsciously clutching your purse when a black man walks near you, you're teaching your kids and everyone else to do the same thing.
Exactly.
And if you're doing it subconsciously and you don't even know you're doing it, you're perpetuating a machine of racism that has been set in motion since before you were born and will continue until after you die if you're not conscious and try to stop.
And that's where it's our responsibility to acknowledge it and to own it.
I agree. And that's why I don't believe people think about racism in the correct terms. They think only about overt racism as if somehow that is...
Well, they think, oh, well, I don't do those things, so I'm not racist. Yeah. Or they use the stupid, I'm colorblind.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Bogus.
Because that brings me to my next thing, actually perfect, is that the concept, you may have heard this, that race is a construct.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between what we would call race and color. Mm-hmm. So color exists.
Yes. Color is real.
People have different skin colors. That's true.
Yes.
What isn't true is that there people with a different skin color are any different or a different race from you.
Right.
That is not true.
Correct.
They are from a different geographical location as you. But that's not the same thing as saying race.
Origin-wise, but black people born in America are Americans. Correct. Just like you and me.
Exactly. And so, to me, it seems like the difference between someone who is, say, French and someone is, say, German is the arbitrary borders of their country and maybe what language they speak.
Right.
But you wouldn't say they were a different race.
No.
And that's because race is a created thing.
We, as a species, made it. Mm-hmm. We defined and classified human beings by the color of their skin, and we gave value, we assigned value based on the color of their skin.
And what's interesting about that is that's something that was developed around the same time as America and, well, British colonialism, because in previous times, thousands of years ago, when we had slaves, they were typically categorized by Christians and non-Christians, and then before that, national boundaries by what king or whatever.
Yeah, right. People who were enslaved, it wasn't because of the color of their skin as much as it was, well, they just happened to be living in the land that we wanted to conquer.
It was, yes, it was geography or religion. Or any number of other things, but not race. It was conquering armies like the Trojans and whatnot would have slaves, but they weren't ever based on race. It was always based on other factors. When America, when the New World began and started to exist, we needed a way to separate people into the haves and the have-nots. And those other systems wouldn't work because everybody here was new. So race got constructed to put on to the hierarchical system that we were developing in America at the time.
Right. And if you're going to own a person, which is what white people did in America, we owned black people.
Correct.
The best way to sell that to yourself is by saying, well, they're not even really people.
Exactly. And so
they're lesser than.
We created a category and stuck them in it.
And then we used quote unquote science to explain why mm-hmm. they were lesser than.
And I feel like a lot of folks don't see race that way. They see race as some inherent God-given thing.
Yes, they that do. That
just exists inside the body. Like there's like race a chromosome. Race doesn't
exist, but color does and culture does.
Correct. That's very important. Culture definitely mm-hmm. exists.
Yes.
And so that's where they can put up barriers around culture and say that defines race.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still part of race being a construct. It's still not a thing. There's not a gene in your body that you can say, if this is a 1, then you're black. If it's a 2, then you're white. It doesn't work like that.
Well, it does in the sense of skin color. Yeah, your right. genes dictate your skin color.
Right, but they
but we have gone beyond just classifying by skin color.
Exactly.
We're assigning value.
Exactly.
And that's the problem.
And I feel like a lot of people think that that's something that was invented millions of years ago and has always been the case.
I think they just think that it exists inherently, that that's just the way right. it is.
But it's not true.
No.
And it never was.
And I think
true.
That's mind-boggling for mm-hmm. a lot of people to even begin to comprehend.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy stuff,
it
I
is.
Guess.
It is.
Well, we just explained it here, so
yeah,
there you
hopefully
go.
Hopefully that made sense.
Another thing I don't think people really think as much about is the Confederate Army, the, mm-hmm. the Confederacy. They say, you know, heritage, not hate.
Yeah, one of the things that's happening right now with BLM is a lot of protesting revolving around these Confederate monuments.
Right.
And wanting them to be torn down. And we're having these counter protests happening saying, no, you can't tear down that monument. It's been there since, you know, I was a kid and it represents my family's heritage. It represents heritage, not hate.
Which is an argument that I'm going to explain why I don't agree with right here is because the Confederate States of America declared war on the United States of America and sought for the eradication of the United States of America. This is a country that formed itself to declare war and to try to exterminate the United States of America. They wanted to get rid of the country that I love,
mm-hmm.
the country that you love, the country that we all live in,
mm-hmm.
that we have the freedom to talk like this in. They wanted to get rid of that.
Yeah.
And I don't see why you would want to have the flag of a country that wanted to destroy America on your house. Or your
truck.
I don't understand.
Or your t-shirt or your hat.
If you love America, you would be against that flag. Just mm-hmm. like you would be against the ISIS flag.
Yeah, no one goes around waving the ISIS flag
or
in America.
Or the Vietnamese flag or the Cold War Russian flag.
These are all places that declared war on America.
And we
and
don't.
And the Confederacy is the same.
Exactly. And that goes back to, that's into the conversation about monuments. Because if you think about wars that have been fought in the United States, we've tore down a lot of monuments. During the Cold War, when USSR fell, they tore down monuments.
Mm-hmm.
When we invaded Iraq, they tore down the statue of Saddam Hussein. No one in America, none of these same people were going, well, be careful not to erase their heritage. That's their heritage.
Those poor Germans, they got to have their heritage.
Yeah, don't tear down that Berlin Wall. That's their heritage.
Uh-huh.
No one was saying
Nobody.
That. You know why? Because monuments are inherently political. They always have been.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into the history of monuments, it goes back to the ancient Egyptians as an expression of political power.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to mistake a monument for history is mistaking politics for history, which is something that's easy to do, but not logically consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of people have been making that mistake in this country, and they probably should think about it a little harder.
Agreed.
You know? When you look at that flag, you should maybe think that those people declared war on the United States of America.
And what's funny is it's the same people who love America.
Right. It's mind-boggling.
They love
it?
To sing, you know,
mm-hmm.
God bless America and all that kind of stuff. They love it. But they also want to wave a Confederate flag.
Yeah. And then if this segues into the problem with police, I can't take credit for this. AOC had said that when they have a Black Lives Matter protest, they're surrounded by cops with guns.
Yep.
And then when they have a Confederate protest, mm-hmm. you have bikers waving Confederate flags and they're all armed.
And they are all armed.
And there's no one around. There's no police around.
No cops.
And so who are the police protecting and what are they protecting them from?
I wouldn't even assume that they are protecting anyone.
I would assume they're protecting white people from black people.
Well, I think they're giving the illusion of protection when they're, you know, when white people, when when Miss Smith is clutching her purse and she sees the cop, she thinks, oh, okay, good, I'm safe.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess it would be protected, but not really.
Exactly.
Because BLM is a peaceful movement.
And I've heard some questions about this argument, because there's the argument that if you get rid of racism, it would also be better for white people, and whether or not that's an argument that we should be making. So if you were to say, have, like, racism hurts America economically. Uh-huh. And so if you wanted to convert people who maybe not be on our page because they have different conservative values, would it be smart to make the argument to them that maybe they should get rid of racism for their own economic benefit?
I had not even thought about that before.
Yeah, is that selling out a cause?
I mean, you might get some converts that way, because we sure do love capitalism in this country.
And it's a debate I've seen within this social movement between whether or not that's selling out the cause or whether or not that's something that we should be convincing people of, because it is a true thing, regardless of how you feel about racism. If we had less of it, then there would be more money.
There would be. I just don't know if you could simultaneously convince them that they'd be better off and that they should still respect culture.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you'd ever really be
because
able
even
to
if you got rid of race, you're not going to get rid of culture, and you shouldn't get rid of culture.
And I think maybe that's some of the criticism for putting that forth as an argument.
I think so. That would be that's where my mind went.
It's certainly a debate that I've seen in the community, and I found interesting, because I don't know exactly where I fall, and this is part of the conversation that we're trying to have, is that some of these issues are so complicated, you're not going to immediately know how you fall. You got to let it sit in your head for a little while.
Right, that's why we're making this into more of a series rather than a one and done. It's just because it's so big.
Right. Yes, I could talk about it for forever, but what is important is that we're actually talking about it.
Yep.
And we've made some sort of progress.
I think, yeah, we're off to a good start.
Yeah, and we'll always have more to say about it, and we're going to record more very shortly about this topic.
Yes, we will.
And that does it for part one of our Black Lives Matter series here on the Carolina Snowflakes podcast, which is now available on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like what you heard, you can reach us on our Facebook at
facebook.com/Carolina Snowflakes.
We also have a website at
carolinasnowflakes.com.
And lastly, we have an email.
carolinasnowflakes@gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Bye.